We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on the Bleacher Report app. CP the franchise back with you guys on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday here in New York. Orange and blue skies abound, man. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. Action-packed show. It is the final countdown, ladies and gentlemen, man. Just a couple weeks away from the conclusion of the NBA regular season. Knicks finding themselves right in the thick of things in the East playoff hunt. And we're going to talk about that, man. Plus injury news, Mitchell Robinson on the way back. And then finally, we're going to rank our top five playoff opponents for the Knicks from most competitive to least. Least favorable to most favorable. So we're going to lock in on that, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. For my fans on the chat, throw that fire emoji up. Throw the thumbs up button in the chat. Let me know that you guys are in here. And make sure that you guys are tapping in on the lunchtime live stream, man. But like I said, man, we got to start this thing off with breaking Knicks news, man. Breaking Knicks news here. The Knicks getting good news about the Black Ness monster, Mitchell Robinson. According to reports, according to Woj, Mitch is active tonight. Mitchell Robinson will be active tonight when the Knicks take on the Toronto Raptors. And looks like he's ready to go, man. Mitchell Robinson, who had missed a number of games with ankle surgery, is looking to come back. So this Knicks front court that had been decimated by injuries is getting a little bit stronger. Knicks front court getting a little bit stronger here, man. So definitely excited about that. And, you know, what will that look like for the Knicks? What will that look like for the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson when they get there? You know, Isaiah Hartenstein has been playing great basketball. He's been looking good over the past couple weeks as he ramps up from his minutes restriction with the Achilles injury. You still have Precious Achiuwa, who's been, you know, kind of up and down lately, but still providing some solid contributions off of the bench there for the Knicks. Jericho Sims has been filling in admirably as well. But now you got the Black Ness monster coming in, returning for the crown. So it'll be interesting to see how the Knicks utilize him. I think, you know, he's going to be on a minutes restriction, as Tom Thibodeau said. They're going to ramp him up slowly. No need to just throw him out there for major minutes. There's really no need. You have three capable centers, two guys that can play the four if they need to. And so I think the Knicks will ultimately just kind of ease Mitch into it until he's ready to ramp up and ready to go come playoff time. Gotcha open. I see you in the chat. Salute my guy. So I think they'll ramp him up slowly and then come playoff time. Hey, now we're talking, because I still think, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein, he's a starter going forward. No question about it. He's just way too impactful on the offensive defensive end for the Knicks right now. They're in a groove with him at the center position. So no need to mess with that. But Mitch coming off the bench, boy, that makes that Knicks second unit a lot stronger defensively now, as if only their offense can catch up. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mitch impacts his team. But certainly, you know, helping them clean up the glass. I joked that, you know, he's going to be out there cleaning up Bogdanovich and Burks' bricks in the playoffs if they make it in the rotation. And so you'll get your offensive rebounding. You'll get your rim protector, a switchable, versatile defender out there in the perimeter. He should be, you know, be able to hold it down. Obviously, against stretch fives, that's when things get a little bit dicey. So if they match up with the Bucks, if they match up with the Celtics, that could get tricky for them. But other than that, I'm happy that the Loch Ness Monster is coming through, man. No question about it. I'm thrilled to see Mitchell Robinson back with this Knicks team. CP the Franchise here with you guys on the Solo Dolo on the Bleacher Report app. Salute to all of our Knicks fans worldwide, wherever you guys are tapping into. Another edition of the Franchise on Bleacher Report. Let's take a look at the standings here, guys, because the Knicks are also getting good news on that front as well, with the Milwaukee Bucks losing to the LA Lakers last night in double overtime, blew a number of 15, 20-point leads. Bucks choking that out. Pause. In Milwaukee, the Knicks now move within 2.5 games out of the second seed and just a half game out of the third seed. So the Knicks could be moving on up here in the standings, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that is going to be interesting. We still have no idea where this Knicks team is going to fall seeding-wise. And I don't know if we're going to know until the final three games or so. Because this thing is close, man. Half game behind the Cavs, one game up on the Magic, 2.5 back at the Bucks, 3 games up on the Pacers. So this thing can go any way. But if we take a look at the next 5 or the next few games for these, Crispy, what's good? I see you in the chat. Salute to Crispy. If we take a look at where the Knicks are in the next few games, take a look at the next 5 games. What do we want to start with here? Let's start. Hey, you know, Miami's in the running here. They're fighting. Their next 5 looks versus Portland at Washington. Home against the Knicks. I'll be at that game. Home against Philly. And then at Houston. A bit of a mixed bag there. You just don't know which Miami team is going to show up. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Let's look at Philadelphia's next 5. They have been kind of up and down lately. Philadelphia, home versus the Clips, at Cleveland, at Toronto, home versus OKC, and then at Miami, their next 5. So, again, another mixed bag in the schedule for the Sixers there. Nothing is going to come easy. Let's look at Cleveland's next 5. They've got Charlotte. They've already beaten Charlotte once. I mean, they beat them by 23 points. Lopez, I see you in there. Salute to Lopez. They've already beaten Charlotte. Then they're home against Philly, at Denver, at Utah. They got to go out. At Denver, at Utah, at Phoenix, at Clippers, at Lakers. At Lakers, at Clippers. This right here, this little West Coast trip for the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to do them in. This from Easter on down, I think that is going to sink the Cavaliers. What do you guys think in the chat, man? I see the Knicks moving in the third, at least, at the very least. And Cleveland's got issues. Donovan Mitchell, you know, yes, he had the nasal surgery, but he's also got a bad knee that they're looking to calm down. So there's no telling when he comes back. I think that Cleveland having to do that West Coast trip to end your season, damn near. They come back home for 3 games, 3 easy ones, Memphis, Indiana, Charlotte, to finish the season. But you got to go out west before you wrap up the playoff, before you wrap up for the playoffs. That is crazy. And that is where I see the Knicks sneaking in here. And when we look at the Knicks, let's take a look at the Knicks schedule here. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Franchise on the Bleacher Report app. We back in here. Beautiful orange and blue skies day on a Wednesday. Give thanks for life. Absolutely. Knicks next 5 at Toronto, at San Antonio. Then they got to play OKC on Easter. Then they go at Miami, home versus Sacramento. Now they got a 4-game road trip themselves to wrap this up. But doable ones when you look at the 2 against Chicago. And I don't believe Boston by April 11th will be playing anybody. What do you guys think? I think Boston will go load management by April 11th. Then you're home against Brooklyn, home against Chicago. So I think the Knicks can win at least, you know, in their next five, let's say Toronto, San Antonio, those should be wins. Home against OKC, at Miami, those might get tricky. And then home against Sactown, I think the Knicks can go at least 3-2 on that stretch. And by the time the Cavs go out west, I think the Knicks will be able to take that third seed, maybe even get to the second seed. Maybe even get to the second seed. Lopez says that's a tough stretch for them. Absolutely. Crispy in the chat, I see you. What's good to Crispy? Got you open. Yeah, rough stretch. I think the Knicks end up catching the Cavs at some point here. I really do. So they're in a good spot there. And that is certainly encouraging. Now, they got good intel on Mitch, but still nothing on OG Anunoby, because OG Anunoby is going to be out for this game against the Raptors. And nothing on Julius Randle. Julius Randle still not cleared for physical contact. And so we're getting closer and closer to the end of this regular season. I mean, can we even count on Julius Randle coming back for the playoffs at this point? Might be 50-50. Yeah, it's nice to see him shooting around. That's nice optics. But he's not even clear for physical contact. I mean, how much longer is it going to take for him to get stronger in that area to be approved for physical contact? The Randle thing's not adding up to me. I'd expect OG back by the start of the playoffs. I think that'd be smart. Sock Passe says OG may have come back too early. Probably. But what, you know, was there any concrete way for them to know that it was going to impact them this badly? So let's see what happens there. Those are two of the big question marks. But either way, the Knicks taking on the Raptors tonight for what will be a winnable game. No RJ, no Quickly for the Knicks tonight as they get through bereavement. We send our condolences to their family as well. You got two young players dealing with tremendous loss within their family. So, you know, basketball takes a step aside as they get back to, you know, focusing on their mental and ramp their way back up. We'll see if they even finish out the season. Gotcha Open says, OG really don't need no ramp up like Randle does. That's a fact. Yeah, that is a fact. I agree with that. You really don't need much ramp up for OG. So there that is. So you have Mitch back, Knicks moving up in the standings. Now let's talk about potential playoff matchups here, because like I said, we have no clue how this thing is going to shake out between now and April 14th. This is a dogfight in the East. Absolute dogfight. So what do you guys think out of Cleveland, Orlando, the Pacers, the Miami Heat, and the Sixers? Five teams. Rank those five teams in terms of worst matchup at number five all the way up to best matchup. Worst matchup to best matchup. Rank those five teams in the chat, and let's have this discussion, man. At number five for me, I'm going to go with the Miami Heat. And they're in the seventh seed right now in the East. And if you look at it, Miami, they're on pace. They're on last year's pace. Same pace. But is it the same team? Is it the same team? Or are we just, you know, am I guilty of just planting this reputation on them without seeing how this thing is going to play out in the playoffs, right? Like, they're carrying that reputation of turning it on late, as they did last year, all the way from the play-in to all the way to the finals. Can they do that again this year? Yeah, that is a question. You have Jimmy who, you know, Jimmy Butler has all but said, screw the NBA regular season. I'm just going to go out here. I'm going to, you know, hang out with Fall Out Boy. I'll do my commercials. I'll make my coffee. I'll chill with the family. Jimmy's like, forget the regular season. So is he planning to take it to another level, and how would that Miami team look? I think for the Heat, why they're so dangerous, number one, is the coaching factor. It's Spoelstra. You know, Spoelstra will find a way. He will find your weaknesses. They will pick at it. and make things very, very tough for the Knicks. And I worry about that because it's a team that they will give Jalen Brunson a number of different looks. They seen the tape from last year. You know, they could switch up their coverages. Miami's a team that plays a lot of different coverages. They'll go full court press. They'll go 2-3 zone. They'll go matchup zone. They'll go man-to-man, all in one possession. And before you know it, you got 5 seconds left on the shot clock, and you got to make a decision. You have Bam, who's kind of like your free safety in that defense. They have the ability to really muddy it up. And so I have to put them as the most formidable in that group of five, even though they're the seventh seed and the Knicks are 4.5 games up on them in the regular season. I don't count that. I'm looking at the postseason. So I've got to go Miami at number five. I think they're still a formidable pairing to go up against the Knicks. One of the things that concerns me for the Knicks outside of Julius and OG, definitely that's number one concern. But another concern about the Knicks that I think plays into Miami's hands, if you take a look at the stats, Miami's had one of the best half-court defenses for like the last 10 years straight. And one of the things that they do, yeah, they'll allow you to shoot the threes, but they're going to take away everything in the paint. And so one of the things I'm concerned about is, can this Knicks team figure out ways to get high efficiency, easy buckets? Your threes aren't always going to fall. Even though it's nice to have DiVincenzo out there and OG when he's healthy, well, they will certainly spread the floor, and that'll be great for the Knicks if they can knock down their open shots. But what if it's not? What if it's not? Because you know Miami's going to crowd that paint and crowd Jalen Brunson every time he makes a foray into the paint. The Knicks are not a good shooting team, both as frequency and accuracy at the rim. So that I'm a little bit concerned about. So that's why I put Miami at number five. Number four, you know, I was wavering a little back and forth on this as I was creating the agenda for this show. But at number four, I'm going to put the Pacers there. And I'll tell you about the team that I was debating about between them and the other team at three. I'm going to put the Pacers there as number four in terms of the toughest opponents. Miami number one, basically. And Pacers next, because number one, yes, they gave up damn near 150 points to the Lakers the other night. But before that, it seemed like their defense was starting to come along. I mean, they had been almost the top 10 defense over like the last 10 games or so. And also like number six in net ratings. And Halliburton's starting to get back into a groove. And I think if they're able to find some sort of respectable defense in the playoffs, I think they can become a bit more dangerous, because when you combine that with the fact that offensively they're so good, you add Siakam, who's got championship and playoff experience, to Halliburton. I always value point guard play in the playoffs as well. Solid decision making in the playoffs. The ability to make your team better. They now have two guys that can do that. You have Miles Turner, who's that wild card, that floor spacing big, can knock down the three. Can give you some rim protection. If their defense can show what they've shown as of late, because remember, it's not about what you ranked in the regular season as a whole. It's about how well you're playing when it counts. It's about how well you're playing when it counts. And so I think if that Pacer defense can creep up a little bit, that could be tough for the Knicks, especially at the pace at which they play. That might be a tough matchup. So I'm going to go with Miami, and then I'm going to go with the Pacers. Mr. 2K to Drippy, what's good? Salute. He says, CP on the Bleacher Report app. Absolutely, man. Shout out to Team Bleacher Report for hosting, for having the franchise. Grace's presence, man, on the Bleacher Report app. So I'm going Miami, I'm going to Pacers. Number three, I'm going Orlando. Hey, don't look now, but the Orlando Magic are one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They won 11 of their last 15. And you got a young, scrappy team defending the hell out of the ball for Jamal Mosley, locked into the culture, locked in lockstep with the coach. A young team getting the job done on most nights. Right on, they've been on the Knicks' heels all year. They beat the Knicks in the regular season series. You have a number of individual defensive performances that have to be highlighted. And young plays. I mean, Jalen Suggs having an incredible year. Shooting 40% from three also on five attempts. Jonathan Isaac having a relatively healthy and providing defense. You have Anthony Black. I mean, you got a number of guys in this on this Orlando defense that can give it a go and make things tough for you. You know, Anthony Black on that with the Brunson assignment. So I think defensively they can be dangerous. Now, offensively is where it's going to be questionable. You know, Paolo's having a tremendous year. You can see the growth and development in his decision-making and his playmaking and making his teammates better, seeing where the defense is coming from. You can see all that in his year two, which has been very impressive and a big part of why this Magic team is fifth in the East right now. But what happens in the playoffs? Because you know Tibbs is going to force him to make those decisions and make his teammates better. And with the 21st ranked offense in the league right now, can they get knocked down timely shots in the playoffs when you need to? That'll be left to be seen. One thing about the Magic, as we talked about, in terms of shooting efficiency and shooting frequency at the rim, they're one of the best teams in the league at it. They're number one in rim frequency and number 11 in accuracy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So I think for Jamal Mosley, if they're going to be trying to stick to their strengths, how do they devise good deep, good offense and easy shots? And if Tibbs tries to take that away, can they rely on their three-point shooting? So I'm going to put Orlando third there. I was wavering between Orlando and the Pacers. But I'm going to put Orlando third there. Number two, I'm going to go with the Sixers. I don't count on the Embiid coming back. And that is my asterisk. That is if he does not come back. I'm not counting on him to come back. And if he doesn't, I think they're in trouble. They're one and they're out in the first round. I don't believe in them. They're Maxey and nothing. You got Buddy Hield struggling. Sixers struggling to find offense. Who's going to be that second guy for the Sixers to step up in the playoffs if once you send all your attention Maxey's way? You're going to count on Kelly Oubre to do that? Buddy Hield? Sixers are in trouble. And I don't believe that they will be a good offensive team come playoff time. Defensively, they've been fine. But offensively, I don't think they will be able to put together a string of good offensive games in a playoff run to get out of the first round. So I'm putting the Sixers at number two. And number one, you know it, Cleveland rocks. Except for in the playoffs. They don't. And that's where I'm going, man. Cleveland Cavaliers, the number one ranked opponent here for the Knicks. They've owned the Cavaliers over the last 2 years. Knicks are a way more physical team, play way better defense than this Cavs team. This Cavs team is soft, and the Mitchell factor, I think, is going to be major for them in a number of ways. Number one, in the here and now, you got Donovan Mitchell who's playing on a bad knee. How's he going to come back, and how will it impact them if he's not himself, if he's not 100%? You know, the Cavs has been battling the injury bug all year. they really haven't had much time with that squad at full strength. You know, you had Garland and Mobley miss a ton of time. Dean Wade has missed a ton of time. You can always pencil Caris LeVert to miss time. And now Donovan Mitchell. But even still, at full strength, if the Knicks are at full strength, I'd put the Cleveland Cavaliers as the best matchup for the Knicks in the first round. That's where I'm going. Now, the Knicks have their own problems to solve because Julius Randle, OG Anunoby have to be healthy themselves. They've got to be healthy. But if they are, I like Cleveland as the best matchup. So I'm going in order from best to worst matchup. From best to worst matchup, I'm going Cleveland, Philadelphia, Orlando, Indiana, Miami. What do you guys think in the chat, man? Leave me a comment in the chat. At me on Twitter, at CPTheFranchise. At me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, at CPTheFranchise. Salute. NY Knickerbocker 6, put him in the trunk. Salute. Mr. 2K, 2 Drippy, says, Mitch, questionable for tonight. Want to get your thoughts on that. Yeah, we opened the show with that. And according to Woj, he's playing. Woj just dropped just now that Mitchie is on the way backy. All right, that was a little terrible dad joke. That was a terrible dad joke. I'm working on it, guy. I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to get better every day. But yeah, according to Woj, Mitchell Robinson is expected to play and is active tonight. So, like I said, I expect this, you know, 10-minute type of deal. Get your cardio up. You know, Raptors are decimated by injuries. They got nobody playing tonight. This should be another bum night for the Knicks. 10 minutes, get your run. iHeart and Precious and Sims will hold it down. And, you know, hopefully the hope is that by the start of the fourth quarter, you're up by 30. You give the guys a much-needed break. And you let Mitchie run with the second unit. He gets some more cardio up as Burks and Bogdanovic chalk up bricks. And you ease him back into the mix. So, yeah, Mitch is ready to go, man. And that's great news for the Knicks. It's all hands on deck. I'm not a believer that they're better off without him. No, you figure out how to use him and allow him to utilize his strengths and make this team better. He doesn't need the ball. He's got to contribute, clean up the glass, and protect the rim. He doesn't need the ball. So it's not like you're integrating, you know, just a high usage offensive player into the line like Randle. No, Mitch, go out there, do your job, lock it down, and then it's next man's turn. So I like that. But anyway, man, great show, great session with you guys. As always, I'll be back in April because it is the final countdown, guys. It is the final countdown. I'm ready to go. We got April coming up, last 2 weeks, and then it is playoff time. It is money time. This is the time, man. Let's get it going. What we're going to do right now, we're going to swing this thing over to Knicks Fan TV on YouTube. I got special guest Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. We're going to talk more Knicks. We'll take your calls on the Knicks. Call us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord or 657-383-1509. And just subscribe to the channel, man, youtube.com/KnicksFanTV. I'll answer a couple more questions. OG Bolo says, 1 out of 3 need OG back for the playoffs. Randle would be gravy, but probably not happening. Yeah, OG's going to be very important. Going to be very, very important. Julius is the X factor. You guys want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you need Julius. You know, you need Julius. Bakia Apples, how concerned am I that Randle doesn't come back at all? On 1 to 10, I'm about a 7. Yeah, I'm about a 7. I don't think he's coming back until playoffs. If they're saying that he's not ready yet, he's not strong enough yet, then what would be the point of bringing back in, you know, game 78 against the Chicago Bulls? How much ramp up do you think he's going to get? I don't think it makes any sense to put the shoulder, which is already going to be susceptible to dislocating again and need surgery. Why put it all on the line for a meaningless game? I think they're just going to tear the wrappings off and give it a shot in the playoffs. And it could look pretty ugly, but that's just what it is. You know, you just got to wait and see. All right, so yeah, man, great session, great hanging out with you guys. Swing it over to Knicks Fan TV on YouTube, and we'll see you guys there, man. CP the Franchise, Knicks Nation, has been a beauty. We out of here, man. Peace.